Your invitation song is the same one I chose for Gentry this morning, so we'll get a double dose of that one. Maybe we'll get someone tonight to respond to that thing. Let me just say off the top, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I feel so blessed every time I stand here, and just humbled, just really humbled. And I need a good dose of that on a very regular basis. You know, in the book of Mark, in chapter 4, right after the parable of the sower, which is one of the most common parables that we know, the statement is made that if any man has ears, let him hear. And it took me a minute to kind of understand maybe a little bit about what that means. I'm not 100% sure I have it just all the way at this point. But I tell you what, to me, what I think it means is if you have ears, you're going to know enough to seek the truth behind the parable. And I think that's what I think that's the point of having ears to hear, is that you're willing to seek what you've heard and the truth in what you've heard. I've been looking at a very simple parable the last several days here, and it's the parable of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. He's in Mark chapter 10. That's where we're going to be tonight. In Mark chapter 10, we're going to attempt to have ears and to hear what God would have to say through this parable. I've kind of gotten to a point where I really enjoy studying the parables and trying to see what it is that God is trying to say through them. You know, we can look at the story and we can see the miracle. We can see the point of the story. We can see the fable aspect of it. But God tells us if we seek, we will find. He tells us if we have ears to hear, then we can hear. So let's try to hear what he's trying to say about Bartimaeus. Now, Jesus at this point is on his way to Jerusalem for kind of an important event. I think we all know what that event is. Starting in verse 46, we're going to see what happens when he's coming out of Jericho. Verse 46 of chapter 10, I'm going to read the entire parable. It just takes a moment through verse 52. Starting in verse 46, it says, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Teacher, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." It's a parable. It's a story that we've heard. But let's look at this thing. Let's dig into this thing a little bit tonight. I think you'll be able to appreciate, as I have. I talk about Bruce every time I stand here. He's a mentor to me, and he taught me. And I've not been to seminary or anything like that. But one of the things that he's taught me that's really helped is he taught me one method of studying is to take each line of Scripture and to ask every possible question about that line of Scripture that you can. And that's the method that I used in this. And so the first thing I wanted to know is what can I learn about Bartimaeus? What do I know about him just based on this story? Well, in verse 46, it tells us a few things about Bartimaeus. These are simple facts. We know that he is Bartimaeus basically means son of Timaeus. So he is the son of Timaeus. We know that he's blind. We know that he's a beggar. We know that he's sitting on the side of the road. A few verses down, we learn that that even though he was blind, he could see clearly the identity of Jesus as he called out, "Son of David." We know a few things about Bartimaeus. Now, we understand that he cried out for mercy. That's another thing that we know. Now, let's look here. Starting in verse 47, it says, "When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth who was coming down the road with the multitude, is when he began to cry out and say, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now, when he did this, there was a very specific response by the crowd, right? The crowd basically told him to hush, stop, be quiet, depending on what version you're reading. I haven't found the version that says shut up yet, but I'm pretty sure that that's kind of what they were saying. They were telling him to be quiet. You know, now he was yelling out. He was yelling, "Son of David." It made me wonder, did the crowd know the significance of "Son of David," that statement, "Son of David"? The ones who knew the scripture would definitely know that the Messiah would come from the line of David. And this is what Bartimaeus was calling out. Basically, he might as well have been yelling Messiah. And maybe some of them knew it and maybe some of them didn't. But nevertheless, they were telling him to be quiet. And what does this mean? How does that fit in to our learning? What does it mean when somebody's telling us to be quiet in a situation like this? To me, it's kind of representative of those people in our lives who would tell us to not hope. They would tell us not to worry about changing. In this particular case, this man, this blind Bartimaeus, who we're going to learn sees better than all of them, is calling out for God, but they're telling him, "Be quiet. What you're doing here is not welcome. Don't hope. Don't think about changing. Just be quiet and let him go on his way." That's what they were telling him. You know, it's their own hopelessness and their own contempt that is making them do this. But Bartimaeus responded to their warning to be quiet by calling out even louder. The Greek word, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it, but the Greek word basically means much more. So he cried out much more, cried out louder. And why did he do that? Why did he cry out that way? Well, he cried out because he knew he needed mercy. That's what the Bible says. He was crying out for mercy. He knew he needed some mercy. And let me give a quick aside here. Feel free to interject your own life into Bartimaeus throughout this story, because I hope you can interject yourself in that life and not the life of the crowd. But nevertheless, he needed mercy and he knew it. There was almost a tinge of desperation the way he was crying out to God. He had hope. That's why he was crying out. He had hope. And he had some faith, right? He had a little bit of faith. More so than almost everyone there. You know, he was calling out, "Son of David." This was the first time that I was able to find. And I'll tell you, I didn't spend hours looking through this, but I think this was the first time that someone ever called Jesus by his deity and didn't get a rebuke of some kind. Now, unless you were a demon and he rebuked them, you know, every time. But this was the first time that I could find that there was no rebuke for calling Jesus by his deity. Well, Jesus heard these cries, and it says something. It says that Jesus reacted very surely. In verse, let's see here, in verse 49, it says, "So Jesus stood still and then commanded him to be called." Now think about this. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have ears and we're going to try to hear this. Jesus was on his way to somewhere kind of important, wasn't he? He was on his way to Jerusalem. It's just a few lines later there's going to be a little colt that's found so that Jesus can ride on that thing, right? Jesus is on his way somewhere pretty important. But he stopped. It stopped. The word there is stas. It basically means to stop or to stand still, pause, to notice. That's what Jesus did. He paused. He stopped. There was a multitude of people around him, but this blind Bartimaeus called to him, called him who he was, and Jesus stopped. Jesus wasn't so busy with what he was doing that he couldn't take the time to notice and to attend to this man. It's important, right? We hear this all the time, to have an active faith. You know, in the church, we understand that it's important that we go out and do God's will. It's not enough to be hearers of the word, but we have to be doers. And man, sometimes we get real busy trying to do it. We get real focused on what we're doing. I think there's a lesson in this that we could definitely take from Jesus. Jesus was on a mission. He was on a very important mission to all of us. But he stopped. He stood still. And he took notice of this man. He paid attention when the time came to pay attention. Now, I find it interesting at this point that when he stops and he stands still, that the tone of the crowd changed, didn't it? If you look there in verse 49, they went from be quiet, they went from shut up, to hey, take courage, arise, he's calling you. They went to be of good cheer. Depends on which version you're looking at. It says those things. That's the basic point. They change. The crowd changed their tone. So it begs the question, if we're gonna ask all the questions we can about each of these lines, we have to ask the question, why did they change? Why did they have the change of heart? They had a change of heart based on the response of Jesus. Jesus responded to this man, and his response elicited a change of heart in those around him and those that were listening. There's another lesson there for us. He who has ears, let him hear. The lesson is that the way that we respond to people can change the heart of someone who's watching. Can change the heart of the bystanders. Why the change of heart? They were responding to Jesus, very possibly. He was helping the crowd to see Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a blind man, but he was helping the crowd to see him. The crowd who had perfectly good sight couldn't see him. Jesus showed them how to see him, and they saw him. They may have, but you know, it's possible that some of these people were protecting Jesus in their own way, in their very human, short-minded way that we like to do sometimes, because as humans we are a little bit short-minded. You know, they might have been thinking that they didn't want to disturb Jesus. Man, look at all these people following him. He's got a lot on his plate. He doesn't need this guy yelling at him or whatever. They're trying to, in their own way, they're trying to protect Jesus from this. They're trying to protect the disturbance. But once Jesus found this man to be worthy of the stop, of the standing still, of the pause and take notice, the rest of the crowd did too. Maybe not all of them, but the ones that were mentioned here did. Now the part of this that really gets to me, the part of this story that gets to me, starts now. He tells his group, you know, to call this man. And the crowd tells him to be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. He threw aside his garments, and we're going to get back to that one in a minute. But he got to Jesus. Now, he's blind Bartimaeus. I don't know how he got there. Somebody may have helped him get there. He may have tripped and pinballed his way to wherever Jesus was, but he got there. And he was standing in front of Jesus. And Jesus said to him in verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Essentially, he said to Bartimaeus, "What's your desire? What is your desire?" As I was considering this, I started thinking about desire. We have what I would call surface desires. On the surface of our desires, we want things. We want cars. We want our bathroom to be remodeled at my house. That's what we want. We want various items on the surface. But if you scratch through the surface, it's important for us to have desires. I mean, think about the world without any desires. I mean, there's some very healthy desires out there. I mean, we have a desire to study and to learn various things, hopefully your Bible, for one. We have a desire to earn money, to support our family. We have a desire to procreate, otherwise we wouldn't be here, right? We have a desire, hopefully, to lessen the suffering of our fellow man, of our families, of our friends. We have desires. Without these desires, the world would be, I don't even know how to describe a world without desire. It would be it would be calm to a dead point, maybe. Now, these healthy desires are wonderful things that we have. But I'll tell you what, if you'll scratch even a little bit farther, you get even past these desires into what I might call just a deep longing, right? You got your surface desires, and then you got your better intended desires, and then you've got deep longings like love, friendship, meaningful work, not just work to earn money, but something meaningful. This could be a deep longing for someone. Healing might be a deep longing for someone. There's a lot of things that Bartimaeus could have asked here. Yeah, he was blind, but there was a lot of things he could have asked, and Jesus was opening that door to him. Now, one of the things in that list of those deep longings that we have is God, isn't it? I hope it is. You know, and why is that? Well, this is how God set it up. He said he desires us so that we'll desire him, doesn't he? 1 John chapter 4, I believe it is, verse 10 is the common verse. It says that it's not that we loved him, but he loved us. That's how all this comes into motion. We have a deep longing and desire for God. He places this desire in us. This is how he calls us to him, through this deep desire. He encouraged Bartimaeus, Jesus encouraged Bartimaeus to proclaim his desire. He said to him, "What do you want me to do?" Now, he encouraged that, and Bartimaeus answered in the way that Jesus knew he would answer. He answered that he wanted to see. He wanted his sight back. "What do you want me to do?" "I want my sight back." But if you look at this, Jesus encourages Bartimaeus' asking in the same way that he would encourage ours. It makes me think about my prayers. Whenever I pray, and I have some issues with prayer. I mean, I'll confess that. I say it a lot, but I mean, sometimes I know I don't pray enough. I know I don't. And sometimes when I start a prayer, I don't finish it. And sometimes when I start a prayer, somebody's throwing a touchdown pass, and I've got to watch it. Somebody is calling my cell phone. I got a text in that prayer, and I just left it. I have issues with prayer. And one of the issues that I have with prayer is that sometimes they're pretty repetitious. And that's fine. I mean, there's some things that I need from God every day. I need my family to be safe every day. I need a pure heart every day. I need those things. But God wants us to give our desire to him. These, not the surface desires, but he wants us to talk to him about our deep longings. He wants us to talk to him about love and friendship and meaningful work and those types of things. You know, that is where you have a warm relationship that goes back and forth. A good, solid relationship. My prayers sometimes indicate coldness. And I'm ashamed to say that, but that's the truth. You know, when you pray, you know, without revealing to God, even though He already knows them, your deep longings, it's like keeping a secret from a friend, even though God already knows. That's what this is about. Jesus encourages our asking. He encourages our honesty. He wants us to express our longings. And it's an indication of humility, isn't it? It's an indication of humility. We already know that God gives grace to the humble. So Bartimaeus received this miracle. And when Jesus told him a very key thing in verse 52, he says, "Your faith made you well." Your faith has made you well. He had some confidence in Jesus to be able to do that. There was some big time confidence there. He didn't just know that Jesus was the Son of God. He knew that Jesus had the power to deliver what he was asking. And he asked with confidence. He jumped up when they said, "Hey, he's calling you." He jumped up. He arose. He was excited. He got up there and stood in front of Jesus. And he listened as Jesus asked him that awesome question that he asks us. "What do you desire?" And then he told him. And the most beautiful thing happened. Sight was restored. And then he converted. Didn't he? He converted. Now I want to draw your attention back to, let's see, where is it here? I preached out of a different Bible this morning. Verse 50. It says, "He threw aside his garment and he arose." This is where the conversion started. It's symbolic. But he threw aside his garment. He shed his old self. He shed it and he walked right up there and he got what he came for. And the result was what happened. Jesus healed him in verse 52. "Your faith has made you well." He immediately received his sight, and what did he do? He ran off to his house to party and tell all his buddies and act like he did something, right? No. He followed Jesus. Jesus told him he could go on his way, but he followed Jesus. He converted in this. Not that he wasn't already a believer, but he converted and he went. Now, I think about one of the things that jumps out at me about this blind man is I compare him to the stories that I read in the previous chapter of Mark. In the previous chapter of Mark, Jesus tells the apostles and the disciples, he tells them that he's about to die. He tells them that he's going to suffer. The response indicates blindness by the apostles and by the disciples. They're not real sure what he's even saying. They're blind. They're with him every day and they're blind. He tells even James and John, after he told them that he was going to suffer, they told him, "Okay, that's great. Who's going to be with you at your right hand in glory?" They wanted to know if they had a spot. You know, that's where they were. They were blind. This man, Bartimaeus, he was calling him by name. He knew who he was. And he knew where to go for mercy. And they may have been blind, but Bartimaeus was seeing 20/20 spiritually. And we can learn something from him. In Revelations, in the letter to the Laodiceans, Jesus tells John to write in his letter, he says, "You guys think you're rich." This is not a quote, in case you hadn't figured that out. He says, "You guys think you're rich. You think you got it all figured out." And then he tells him, he goes, "But you don't." He said, "You're poor, you're naked, you're blind, you're wicked." There's a whole big list of them. The fact of the matter is they were lukewarm. This was the group that was lukewarm. They were blind. We can learn a lesson from this. If we have ears, we can hear. And if we have ears to hear, then we can have 20/20 spiritual vision. Just like Bartimaeus did. There's a lot to God's word. If you seek, you will find. And I'm convinced that that never ends. There's probably 10 more lessons that I missed in this. But I've enjoyed the study. I would encourage each and every one of you to find the time to pick a parable and have ears to hear it. You can do it however you want. I like to do it the way Bruce showed me. Ask some questions and get answers to all of them. And you'll find yourself looking at perspectives you've never seen before. So, with that being said, I hope that something that I've brought forth from this story speaks to you. Hope that it speaks to your heart, that it edifies you in some way, that it would make you want to improve your vision a little bit. I know it has mine. I hope that we have the courage to be that royal priesthood that God would have us to be, and to spread His word through this vision. I hope. Hope is exactly what Bartimaeus had when he called out. That being said, I don't know the minds of those who are present tonight. I hope that if there's something that we can do to bring you into the fold, if you're not already in it, that you would make your wishes known. When we stand and sing here in just a moment, if you need the prayers of the church, please feel free. Any gospel subject, just come forward as we stand and we sing a song of invitation.